Anything that you're looking at from the outside and thinking this is a creative field, once you actually dig into it, there's so much technicality behind it. There's technicality behind writing, behind designing, behind lighting. And people don't seem to realize that. Like, being interested or observing or consuming creativity as a consumer is completely different than creating it. Like a simple thing like one YouTube video, okay? You go online and you shit on everyone's videos, like that's your hobby or whatever. Make one video, bro. Make one video. Then that autofocus fucks you up, no? And focuses on the vase behind you and your 3 hours of work is, you know, gone to shit. Then we'll talk. Then we'll talk about technicalities.
Urvashi HV is an actor who quit a high-paying tech job in the US to move back to India and pursue something she's super passionate about, acting. You might recognize her from some of the ads that you might have come across or from some of her recent movies too. Man, this episode's like super fun, is full of laughs, and we were just cracking each other up through the entire conversation. But at the same time, we spoke about a whole bunch of important things. We talk about how literally everything and anything is made up and that there's actually no rule to anything in life. So even the rules that are and the protocols that we have to abide by pretty much on a day-on-day basis are still at the end of the day made up by people, right? We also talk about how do you uproot your life and take a 180 to pursue something that you're super passionate about. And also why she decided to move back from the US to India, which I think is something not a lot of people think about doing, especially when you know the money's great and you've gotten comfortable with the sort of lifestyle that you have there. And usually people step out of the country to not really come back. So with what Urvashi did, it was a very intentional move to come back here to India. So we talk about that as well. And finally, how do you go about discovering what you want to pursue as a career? How do you find what you're inherently drawn to and maybe what you're inherently good at? So I'm currently reading this book, Ikigai, and it talks a lot about purpose and passion and how do you find the balance between doing what you're meant to do and what you're good at. So we kind of talk about that as well in this conversation. If you've had an existential crisis before, or if you've had multiple existential crises and you have no idea how to handle them, then you've come to the right place because we talk about that as well. And I think at one point, Urvashi says, I have so many issues and I have so many problems I want to talk about, which I think is literally all of us. And it is fun to see how she opened up about that. And I'm certain that you'll find it super interesting and get you thinking as well. Anyway, this episode's brought to you by my newsletter. That's right, Akash's newsletter. You might be thinking, can my newsletter that makes no money at all sponsor this episode? Since I'm the one planning it and I'm the one paying for this, I guess it's possible, right? So yeah, this episode's brought to you and sponsored by my newsletter. So if you haven't subscribed to it yet, then head on over to akashdamodhan.com and sign up now. I'll talk more about it a little later in the episode too, to give you guys an idea. Also, we now have Sennheiser as our audio partner. So these microphones I'm using, pretty much all the audio equipment I'm using for the show is brought to you by Sennheiser. I'll talk a little bit more about the collaboration a little later in the episode. Also, this episode shot and recorded at Open Jam Studios. If you'd like to get started with your content creation journey and you don't have the right space to get started or maybe the basic equipment to get started, then come on down to Open Jam Studios. Cool then. Guess we'll get right into it. This is my conversation with Urvashi HV. This is Against the Odds and I'm your host, Akash Damodhan. This show is all about inspiring people to take the unconventional path and lead a life that is truly fulfilling and rewarding. Watch and listen as talented individuals take us through their learnings, the challenges they face, and how they continuously adapt to overcome them.
for the seeing yourself thing, YouTube also took a lot of effort, and now,
dude,
as you
know, it's
RIP my channel.
No, we have to talk about that.
yeah, we'll get there.
No, but dude, it's like I've spoken to a couple of veterans in the content space, and it never gets to be natural, because it's still weird for you to either look into the void of the lens.
Yeah.
Or it's weird for you to look at yourself while you're filming.
Yeah.
Or, and again, it's the same way. You'll probably listen to this and like, damn, that's how I sound.
No,
that's
that part I got used to. Yeah.
So you're okay with that way, right? But there's some people who'll get on a call like, that's weird.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that's just the way we kind of perceive things and we kind of see it, right?
Yeah.
It's a little weird. I get that. But,
no, because it's also like, I've read a lot about this. We don't
please
see,
enlighten us.
Yes, we don't see ourselves ever, right? Like, you go through the day not looking at yourself, and when you're in front of a mirror, you're like,
oh yeah,
the right pose, and that's it. But like, when you see yourself on camera, that's a completely different way that other people are used to seeing you, but you're not used to seeing yourself.
Correct.
And then with the voice thing also, I read that because it resonates inside your own head, like, it sounds different to you because the
Correct.
Voice is coming from inside you and it's resonating.
Correct.
So when you hear it from somewhere else, it's like...
Correct.
There's the resonance.
and also, we're always seeing a mirror image of ourselves.
Exactly.
We're never seeing ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? So that's another thing.
Yeah.
Ah, psychology and how things just mess with our heads.
If you want to get really into it and like the sketchy things that I read, technically, everything that you're experiencing is already in the past, because by the time the light reflects and gets to your brain
Correct.
Processes it, it's
Correct.
Not the present
Damn.
Anymore. Oh! this is why I have existential crises once a week, because I read shit like this and I'm like, what is sentience? like, just at 3 a.m.
exactly. It has to be around that, after midnight.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Around that, yeah.
Basically.
Oh, man. So I think that itself is a good place to start.
On the note of existential dread.
Yeah. Actually, dude, let's talk about that. Let's get into that. Like, why do you think people have these weird existential crises and dread? Because this is something that probably, I'd like to say, maybe the previous generations didn't really have to go through. And at least, or maybe it's being put up on a pedestal the way it is right now. And how people have to like really, go through it. Why do you think that's the case?
I don't know. I think it's always been there. Like, that's what philosophers do, no? They sit and think about this and they've existed forever. And it's just a type of personality that, like, stops and thinks about these things, I feel.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I gave up on religion a long time ago, like, when I was a child. So, ever since then, like, when you don't have that framework to build your life around.
Why did you give up on?
It just didn't make sense to me. Like, I just asked a lot of questions about, like, why do we do this? Why do we do that? And there were no answers. And I was like, this doesn't make a meaningful
Who did
decision.
You ask these?
My mom, my family, like the people who tell you we have to go to the temple, we have to do this, you have to go around this 9 times, whatever. I mean, I understand. And now as an adult, I've tried reading up about it. And I understand the sentiment behind a lot of things. But I don't know. I'm not a big like ritual person, all of that. Today is Ganesh Chaturthi, by the way.
Happy Ganesh Hapa to people.
Happy Ganesh Hapa. I'm an atheist. Okay. No, but yeah, so I think because of not having that framework, I think I spend more time thinking about it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And this actually, so I had an intern in my team, and he was very heavily into, I'd like to say religion, but he was more into Sanskrit and more into like reading all of these scriptures and all that. So I used to have like these long conversations with him where I realized something, that not everyone knows everything, right? It's a fact. And not just that, like, that's why I asked you, who did you ask?
Mm.
Because there, like, in my family, my grandma is the person, is like the, the keeper of everything religion related, right? So I go to her for any questions or anything that I need to talk around religion. When I was a kid, my questions are very like, maybe I didn't ask a deep enough question like the way you did. But I was like, so what happened here? And she just narrated the story. I'm like, that sounds convincing enough, great. But when you start thinking and going into its depths, and I ask her those questions, she doesn't have an answer. So someone who's so in it, right, in terms of like belief and religion and all of that, they too probably don't know. And this is when I start talking to him, who's read a lot. He says like, dude, I don't know. A lot of people I talk to don't know. But it's faith.
And at the same time, it's about trying to figure out how and why things happen. And maybe, you know, maybe we gain some knowledge in that pursuit.
Right? Yeah.
So that's why I was asking you, like, who did you ask?
Yeah, I mean, like, and that's the thing, right? Like, that's why I think people seek out specific gurus or specific people, because they resonate with their view, like their interpretation of whatever it is that they're trying to follow.
Yeah.
And I think that's why all these like new age, you know, like the Sadhgurus and the Sri Sri Ravi Shankars of the world are also coming up, because they just have a newer interpretation. They have a more modern spin on like the original thought process, I guess. I don't know. I could get really into this. Like,
you
do you
should.
Want to?
Yeah, it's please, a whole episode. Please do, yeah.
Okay. No, I just feel like at the end of the day, everyone is searching for answers in terms of like why things happen, right? Like everything else. I mean, yeah, science can study like what happens and how it happens and when it's likely to happen and things like that. But why something happens, like if you ask why enough times, you're going to get to a dead end. And there are no answers beyond that. And I think every religion, every philosopher has just tried answering that one question. And so for me, existential dread comes from a place of not having answers and needing to become comfortable with not having answers.
Right.
Because I, as you said, no one really knows everything, right? So no one is ever going to give me a satisfactory answer. So I've sort of made peace with the fact that nobody knows anything.
Neither can I.
Everyone is just making it up as they go. Everyone's views are colored by their own experiences. And so it's just a sort of like, okay, I guess I just have to get through this whole living life thing.
Yeah, because yeah. We've spoken about this also on the show before, where every single thing is relative in life.
Yeah.
Anything and everything. Like we put up like laws and things as absolute. It's not. It's at the end of the day, it's some group, a cabinet, or someone who's like put together their minds and said, okay, this is the law. Let's stick to this.
Yeah.
But it's very relative, right? Because it's relative to them. So the same thing applies to what you're saying here too, right? It comes down to your experiences and your thought process. That's why actually do these kind of things really freak the hell out of me, because I'm like, imagine if the Chief Justice or someone who heads like a big, you know, like holds a nice, like a post of authority, if that person's like mind, like just the process that goes on behind those weird doors is really screwed up, then it's, you know, hell's going to break loose, right?
Yeah.
And we were scared of a few of these leaders also kind of let's not go there, because
yeah,
it's a
yeah,
non-political
yeah. yeah.
podcast.
Yes.
No, but yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And I feel like, man, this whole relativity thing is, it's a whole subject unto itself. There's so many trains of thought in my head right now. I don't know which one to pick.
It's all relative, don't worry.
No, okay, I remember what I wanted to say. I realized that everything's just made up right after college, because I got into this field, which was like enterprise mobility management, which was really new. Okay, no one was managing like enterprise devices on a large scale. So our company was like on the forefront. And so small decisions that we made every day became industry standard, right? Like 6 months later, like I was like, oh, that random hack that we came up with that one day when everything was broken is now industry standard. That was the day the disillusionment began for me. I was like, man, adults don't know shit. Like, it's all made up. They just pretend to have everything together. Now, being an adult, I'm like, so cool. So no one really knows anything. So yeah, it's the same thing. I mean, like, even with like the chief justices and things like that, right? At the end of the day, they're also making an educated guess. Like, if it's an unprecedented case or if it's something that's going to set a precedent, you just have to think about what your values are. And like, again, it's relative. Like, you put five people in front of the same case, you'll all come up with different things, right?
Yeah, dude.
Everything's made up and the points don't matter.
Yeah.
The line from whose line
is it
anyway?
This is not whose line.
No, but life
yeah,
is whose
yeah.
line. Everything yeah. is made up. Literally everything is made up.
Yeah. Everything and there are no points.
From gen... Yeah, I mean, like, if you want to count karma as the, you know, the point-keeping system, like, gender is made up. Money is made up. Like...
Everything.
Jobs are made up.
Yeah.
Everything's made up, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are we doing here?
We're done. The show
what
is
are
done.
We doing
let's get out of here, dude. This is pointless. This is all made up. It doesn't
no,
matter.
So that's what I feel like. Yeah. You know, when people like get all like, you know, judgy and high-horsed about everything. High-horsed is not a phrase. But like, when they're they're on a high horse about something.
Like, hey, no, it's all made. It's like, fine. High horse is fine.
Yeah, everything's made up.
Yeah, yeah.
Language is made up.
Yeah.
When people are like, oh, I don't understand electronic music, it's such shit. It's like, bro, think about the first person who like invented the guitar. Like, what? He just like ran some strings on top of wood and was like, this is an instrument now. Like, everything is made up. Like, how can you be judgmental about something that is just as made up as everything else that you like worship, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh man, this is the best place to start out this episode. Like, I'm holding back. Oh man,
I just feel like when people are judgy about things that are not in their control, judgy about things just because they don't like it, like, there is a world that exists outside your opinions, buddy. Like, unless you're not physically, emotionally harming or abusing someone, like, just live your life.
Yeah,
like, there's really no need to be like this. Okay, segue to another thing.
Yeah.
Who was saying, Harry Styles, I think, someone made a comment about how his music is only appreciated by like 12-year-old girls or whatever. And he's like, okay, but why is that a bad thing? Like, doesn't that make you a misogynist to think that 11 or 12-year-old girls are the bottom rung for you? Like, you view them as the lowest category of society that reflects on you, not on my music. And I was like,
boom.
Correct.
He's got some crazy style.
Yeah, just because they're not like, you know, 60-year-old men who are like, oh, yes, oh, Nirvana.
Yeah.
You know, like, it doesn't make it...
Approved. Yeah, like, stamp of approval.
Less good in terms of music just based on who is listening.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like K-pop is also doing this, like, destroying these mindsets that people have, like, because now K-pop used to be like such a cult thing and now it's like everywhere,
widespread, right?
Yeah, yeah. So everyone just needs to like
chill out.
Hey, Urushi, do you care if your hair is up?
Is it?
Make it?
I don't know. I mean, the frizz is there. It is what it is.
It's my dog.
Yeah. I'm going to keep this. I'm going to keep this vision.
It is what it is.
No, then after the whole thing, she should be like, why didn't you tell me my hair was out of
frizz? No, no. I appreciate that you told me, but I don't care. And usually, like, if I'm shooting or whatever, it's someone else's problem.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The makeup artist has to come and, like, fix it. And I'm like, I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. Yeah.
Oh, man. No, but... And I think in... Dude, we've... gone into multiple episodes thinking we'll talk about this or talk about that, and then more often than not we end up talking about social media,
Harry Styles and K-pop.
I mean, no, this is a first.
Okay,
but
good.
Probably we'll start using this as a theme too, but yeah, and we've spoken about how people get so judgy and they just, you know, have their opinion, and you know it's my way or the highway, and I think in today's day and age, because everything's so connected and everyone has they're so trigger happy, right? You can just quickly just put out a comment, and then if someone retorts or says something, you're just like, I'm not going online, that's all. No, or just ignore or delete the comment if that's your post and whatever, right? But I think at the end of the day, you'll realize that even if the person engages, it'll never end there, because you can't change someone else's mind. And that's something I should have probably learned like far earlier on in my life, and makes me sound like I'm old, like you said a while ago. But the fact of the matter is, if I'd known this when I was 16, I would have saved a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of energy fighting with my dad itself. That itself would have been a big deal.
But you know what happens is, you tell a 16-year-old and they'd be like, you're wrong. Like, they don't want to listen. So even your 16-year-old self, even if you go back in time and say like, it's not worth it, they'd be like,
we'll see.
Like, 16.
How do you know everything? Everything's made up, man.
Exactly. 16-year-olds think they know everything.
Oh, man.
God, so old, huh?
Anyway, so... But, dude, let's talk about... Since you brought up your job, let's talk about your job. Because the biggest thing I want to talk to you is how you had the perfect setup, according to a lot of people. Maybe not in your eyes. Maybe not even in my eyes. But a lot of people who aspire to be where you were.
Yeah.
Right? And they work super hard towards all of this.
Yeah.
And I think this all goes back to you just investing time, effort, money into getting to a certain point. And then you realize that maybe it works for you. Great. That's awesome. And I'm hoping that's the case.
Yeah.
But more often than not, if you ask someone in their 40s, they're like, I'm not really happy with what I'm doing. Or they may not express it that way. They'll be like, this is what everyone else is doing too.
Yeah. Right? So this is what life is.
Yeah. This is exactly the tag of life.
Yeah.
Right. So What made you do exactly the opposite of what everyone else? And you didn't even go for your postgrad. Like, if you had to follow the herd, people would basically go there for their post-graduation.
Yeah.
But you set off to the States for your undergrad, right? And then you decided a couple of years in that this is not happening. And how did you eventually find what you wanted to do and then you decide to move back? Just walk me through that thought process.
This is a full life story now.
Yeah,
okay.
Please go for it.
No, I think what happened also is that, see, this dream that everyone talks about, that everyone aspires to, is something that people work for over many, many, many years. And so once they get it, they don't want to let it go. What happened for me was it all came from a place of privilege because my dad was like, this is the plan. You're going to America for your undergrad. I was like, okay.
So it was never your plan?
It was never really my plan. My dad was very sort of frustrated with the Indian education system, especially at the engineering level, because he was running a software company.
And as he should be, I think. What he's saying is also correct.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he was just like, there's no application of thought at all. It's just, you know, you learn your formulas, you write the exams, and then you come out into the real world and you're like, And then there's also this expectation that like a large company that has resources will train you. So anyone that's coming out of college, they come out of college thinking that they're going to continue to be trained on the job.
Right.
So he was just like, what is this? I'm hiring you because you're supposed to know how to do these things.
Yeah.
So that idea was planted in my head at a very young age. And then it just sort of happened. And like my family had the ability to pay for me and everything. So I didn't have a loan to pay back. And then even when I went there, because I did computer science, which is, you know, a very lucrative field. Like
gold standard.
Yeah, exactly. So I got a very high paying job very early on. And I was just living this dream life. I sort of just like falling from one step to another, right? Like, yes, on the outside, it was great. Like, there's no doubt about it. But because it was never something that I wanted, it was never something that I really worked for, to be very honest. I mean, I was good at school, so college happened. College was difficult. I struggled through it, but I mean, everyone struggled through it. So that was also okay. And I graduated fine. So a lot of it just sort of happened to me. It's not something that I worked for or like longed for or wanted. So I think it was easier for me to give it up than it would be for someone who has really slogged to get there. Because I had colleagues who had, you know, over many years, like started off in a small town, moved to a bigger city for college, moved to a bigger city for work, then, you know, worked with like a multinational company, then got the visa, then came to the US. So they have had this vision in mind since they were like...
literally 15, born.
Yeah, probably. 14, 15. They are the ones that are changing their social standing for their entire family. Like, I have a huge amount of respect for them because they have single-mindedly worked towards something. And they got what they wanted. And so I don't judge them at all for wanting and, you know, living that life because that's what they've worked for. So I think I understand from their perspective that I was giving up or wasting an opportunity. But like if the opportunity is not something you've ever wanted, then, you know, getting it is also kind of like, it's feeling awkward. I guess I should be grateful, but I'm really like just... It was very weird. Like when I decided to move back, a lot of people were like, oh, getting married, huh? And I'm just like... No.
But you are in US. You should be stay there, come back, and go back. Yeah.
Exactly. So there was a lot of like, are you dumb? Like straight up, like you're an idiot. A lot of people, like my American friends, like not immigrants, like born and raised in the US.
Is it red? Red.
Born,
the cat lover.
No, it was born and raised and born and bred became born and red.
Like freaking bunch of cats.
Bread and jam. I don't know what's happening.
Bond red, bread.
I drank this coffee too fast is what's happening. I'm also a little hungover because Kavya, if you're watching this, I blame your birthday party.
Happy Ganesh, how about you?
Yeah, God.
Oh, man.
Anyway, what is it saying, dude? Born and bread.
Born and red.
Yeah. Born and farmed.
Farmed, yeah.
Farmed in the US.
Yeah. Oh my God.
My American friends were like, listen, you came here at 18. You're basically one of us. Because they also have this mindset of like, the sort of immigrant group tends to stick to each other. And then there are like the Americanized immigrants. And then there are the American. And so I was quite like able to go between the groups. And so my American friends were like, you're so American, like, how are you going to deal? I'm like, you have no idea. Like,
yeah,
I am very much Indian. You just have never seen that side of
me. Get on Samba Vada and I'll show you what I'm talking about.
You have no idea, man. The first year I moved back, it was just every weekend I had like three places I needed to go to and just eat.
Oh, man.
Like, I feel like a lot of these countries have figured out North Indian food. Like, they're very good with, like, biryani, butter chicken, naan, whatever. But
good to a, yeah.
Sambar and all, they've not figured out, man.
Bro, you can't even get sambar right in India. Forget, like, outside India. Like, within India itself, the places that don't get sambar right. So, you can imagine.
Shit. I feel like we need to raise funds or something. Like, let's just solve this problem.
There has to be some seeding and some planning to this.
Yeah, this is like a civic issue that needs to be resolved, man. Anyway, like, Saravana Bhavan and all, abroad is a joke. So don't get me started on South Indian food abroad. I ate Puli Okre, which I made, that MTR packet I took and ran.
Nice.
For a whole semester. I can't eat Puli Okre anymore. I just can't. That's how it was. There's no South Indian food, so whatever you can make easily. Who's gonna carry that idli tray and all, man? I'm not making batter and all of this, okay? Some people I know made dosa idli and all. I was like Puli Okre max because I just have to
rice and mix.
Yeah. And how to find rava and all to make upit? You can't. So what is left? Puli Okre.
Puli Okre. Minus the tamarind and all the whatever, just regular mix and rice, that's it.
Yeah, I got off a nice rice cooker for one semester, fully I ate Puli Okre. Anyway, how did we get here?
Oh man.
Yeah, what about me being too American?
Yeah.
I was like, no, what rubbish, I'm not too American. I came back to India and that first year I was like, damn, I'm really American. Because that's when I realized like my entire adult life happened in the US, right? Like my first bank account, my first car, my first paycheck, my first tax, everything was there. I had never had a PAN card in India. I never had a job in India. I was in school living with my parents as a minor and then I left. So when I moved back, I realized it was like if I'd moved to like the Czech Republic, it would have been the same struggle because I knew nothing. Like I had to ask people like which bank account should I get and like things like that. So it was that was when I realized how Americanized I had become.
That's so weird, right? That the Americans knew how Indian you were even before you knew it.
Yeah. And so it took me a long time to... I think now I've made peace with the fact that I'm always going to be slightly out of place.
Mm.
Like I'm still slightly out of place here. I'm still slightly out of place there. But I can make either one work. I think I'm also... Once you make that one big move in your life, at least for me, now I feel like if I have to move to Malaysia tomorrow, whatever, I'll make it happen. So in that sense, I feel like even though I'm not fitting in anywhere, that gives me the ability to also just go wherever I need to and be.
Yeah. And I think, dude, the name of the game is adjusting, right?
Yeah.
Literally anything and everything. And I'm not sure if I've spoken about this on the show before, but I talked to Apoorva a lot about this, which just that if you can adjust in pretty much any environment, which... We hear a lot of our parents when you're younger saying this over and over again, like, it's okay, you can just like, sulpa adjust maadi. You know, like,
just try.
There is something there for sure. But I think when you, and that's the biggest reason I feel that people want to travel, because they get to experience like different places, different cultures, and then they kind of understand where we are coming from, where we are going, and what the entire world looks like. And then you're like, okay, if I go here, I can adjust. I can do that. And I think like what you're saying is the same thing, right? When you came back here, I can imagine, dude, like, I still find it a struggle with a lot of the, like I said, like maybe the finances on the company side, which I don't think for the life of me, I'll ever learn. It's not possible. So same thing when you're coming back when you're 18 or 22 or whatever, you must be like, dude, what is actually happening, right?
But I came back at 26.
Oh yeah, 26. Mm. Shit, not even, oh my God, that's like an 8-year delay.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Okay guys, taking a small break from the conversation to talk about our collaborations and partnerships. So first and foremost, I'd like to talk about our collaboration with Hubhopper. So for people who don't know what Hubhopper is, it's a podcast providing platform, a hosting provider platform, where if you don't know where to host your show, or if you're unsure of where to get started with creating audio podcasts, then Hubhopper Studio is the way to go. If you wish to start your own podcast for free, then you can visit hubhopperstudio.com. Hubhopper is one of India's leading podcast creation platform,
Start your podcast with Hubhopper Studio and get your voice heard across platforms like Spotify, Gaana, Google Podcasts, Wink Music, and more. Click on the link in the episode description or visit hubhopperstudio.com. The Audio It Against the Odds is brought to you by Sennheiser. Yep, that's our audio partner. So I'm sure you already know what Sennheiser does. But for people who don't know, you've been either living under a rock or maybe you don't know what these incredible pieces of equipment can really do. So from some of the best industry standard and leading microphones to some incredible headphones to, well, you know, any kind of audio equipment, Sennheiser's got your back. I'll leave a link to pretty much all their products and a catalog in the description below for you guys to go check it out. But yeah, if you like what you're hearing here, it's all because of these microphones. So yeah, you want to go check out the MK4s and the MK8s by Sennheiser. And yeah, truly level your game up when it comes to audio and take it to the next level. Also, this episode is shot and recorded at Open Jam Studios, our community partner. So if in case you want to just quickly get started with creating content, either the audio or the video bit in a very professional looking setup, or maybe you want to invite guests over and you don't have the right place to shoot or record your content, then might I recommend Open Jam Studios. So yeah, the space has been incredibly beneficial in terms of how the place is set up, where it's located in the city, and just how professional the workspace is. So if you guys would need a studio to get started with your creation process, then just get to it. I'll leave a link to their website in the description below. And yeah, they've got all the equipment on board. So you just need to come on down here, sit, pay for the space per hour, and then get going. It's as simple as that. But then, how did you finally decide that this is what you wanted to do, and how did you get to that point?
Correct. That was the second half of your question. So, I came back and I was working with the same company that I was with in the US, and the job was fine. It wasn't particularly exciting, but it wasn't horrible. Like, I didn't hate it. So, I just used that year to try like lots of different things. So I just randomly called a bunch of people who were all working in fields that I thought I might enjoy. And so after a lot of conversations, you know, I realized that some places are, you know, too saturated and I don't have the skill level to be unique in that space. Other places, I realized I need a lot of technical education before getting in there.
No, what
like,
spaces are these? Who did you call? Where? Where do you start?
Like you want the details?
Yeah, but I mean, like, okay. I'm sure like people who are lost or people who are trying to figure this out is actually going through that same crisis, right? Which is like, dude, where do I start?
Yeah.
Like, and the funny thing is, you may think you have found your calling or your passion, but then the chances are that maybe that's not it, and you're still on your way to kind of figuring that bit out.
Yeah.
So where do you start? How do you get to that? Also the second part to that is, do you think you're at a place where this is what you want to do for good?
See, everything's made up, so there's no such thing. Everything is impermanent. Om Shanti. So I don't have the answer to that question, but to give you an idea of this, so there were a couple of things that I thought I might enjoy doing because I enjoyed it as a consumer. I thought maybe I would, like with fashion, like I know I don't look like I'm into fashion, but I really like enjoy reading about it and like following like trends. Even if I'm not like wearing, I'm following, like I'm looking, I'm always looking and observing and trying to learn. So I called a couple of people who are like, you know, designers, asking if there are any like non-design related fashion jobs that I could do. Like now there's all these, you know, visual merchandising and styling and stuff like that, but you don't need to design and draw. So I asked around about that. And then I realized that the field is actually insanely technical. Just, you know, you have to know all of the terminology around fabrics and buttons and zips. And like, even if you're a writer writing about fashion, you have to have that vocabulary. And so then I was like, okay, I don't know if I'm ready to invest that kind of time and effort into this because I wasn't feeling that passionately about it. So,
and how long did you kind of dabble your toes here? Like, did you try?
I didn't do anything. I just called a bunch of people.
And for how long? I mean, it took you some time to realize that, is this even something you should be doing, right? And you said, yeah, maybe I don't have the drive for this.
Yeah. I just realized I didn't care enough to like learn about it. It was just literally like 4 or 5 phone calls. And then I did like a social media marketing like internship with a men's fashion company. So then just a little bit that I was doing in terms of planning, like a strategy, like a, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you post this, that kind of thing.
Oh, that's like proper social media.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So I tried that also. And that's like working with those designers is what made me realize, you know, that it's too technical for me, like writing or styling or anything like that is too technical. Then even with the social media marketing part, I thought I would enjoy it, but it's such a numbers game. It's just all about like reach, engagement, statistics, etc., etc. And my experience with social media has always just been for my own joy. And so then to do it and then show results and ROI and like all of that, I was like,
It's like a year end every day.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want this. Like, this is not why. Because I like the creative part of it. Now, that in fashion, to be creative in fashion, you need technical skills, which I didn't have. To be creative in social media, you need like all of this other technique. Another set of technical skills. So I was just like, this, maybe social media is just what I like doing for myself. It's not something that I like doing as a career profession kind of thing.
Managing accounts and all of that.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. So I tried that. I did a bunch of like short films with friends.
And this is while you still had your job.
Yeah, yeah. So this is all just like weekends, evenings, that kind of thing. And that short film that I did, I really enjoyed. And then I met, through like a series of coincidences, you know, met somebody who got me a gig with the Bangalore Literature Festival. So they needed two hosts for their social media coverage. So they had the MCs on stage, but they needed people to sort of walk around and like, you know, interview people and like talk to authors and stuff. And so the person who had been the cinematographer for a short film that I did through another friend, he was doing the media for this.
Hmm.
So he got me in touch then. And there my co-host was already in the acting space. So he introduced me to like casting agents and gave me a bunch of phone numbers and like gave me the 101 on like how to get into the, you know, acting space. So through him, like I went, ended up at a play
but
reading.
Were you asking for this in the sense, were you like constantly on the lookout or were you like asking people, dude, I need to get into this space?
Yeah, every single person that I met, I was like, do you know anyone who works in the theater? Do you know anyone who does, you know?
Why did you film? Have prior experience in theater or like acting or something, drama or anything?
Only in school.
But you did?
Yeah, but I don't know if that counts because it's
it
school.
It does, right? I mean, does it? I mean, like...
Everything's made up. Everything counts. But also nothing counts.
No, I'm just thinking the like with any issue that we have, right? It's so ingrained in us at such an early age. Like these things also work that way too. You never know that you might have like a, you know, like a drive to do something.
Yeah.
Or you might have, you know, like a an outcome or an issue or a, let's say a consequence of something happening when you're young is basically why you might end up having maybe anxiety in your 40.
Yeah.
So many things. It's all connected, right?
That's true.
So I'm sure that matters because I've always been passionate about movies. And guess what? Now I'm doing content, which is ridiculous. So now I was just talking to my client earlier and I was like, dude, when I used to watch a hell lot of, I still watch a lot of movies and I feel bad that there are no theater. I mean, you can't go to a cinema hall and watch a movie.
You can technically.
I mean, now, I want to put my life on the line. Not really.
Yeah.
I'll probably have popcorn at home.
How much do you really love film? How much do you love it? You love enough to risk your life.
Popcorn and sweet corn and like, okay, yeah. No, but seriously, dude, when I used to watch those movies, I used to look for, you know, the kind of emotion or the kind of feel I got after watching it.
Yeah.
Now when I look at it, I'm looking at it from a technical aspect. So I'm looking at like the lighting. I'm looking at the composition. I'm looking at how is it being framed. And I'm constantly talking to people around me like, dude, you see this? And they're like, dude, shut the fuck up and enjoy the movie, dude.
Yeah, what's wrong with you? Exactly. So, you're that guy.
Yeah, I'm that guy. Now.
Yeah.
Right? So I think it matters. And I'm sure that's why I'm asking you. I mean, did you have an experience in doing any of this? And when you say school, how long did you do this?
I mean, I have a segue and then I'll come back to this.
Sure.
No, I think this is true of every creative field, right? Like anything that you're looking at from the outside and thinking this is a creative field, once you actually dig into it, there's so much technicality behind it. There's technicality behind writing, behind designing, behind lighting. There is a lot of technicality. And people don't seem to realize that. Like being interested or observing or consuming creativity as a consumer is completely different than creating it. Like a simple thing like one YouTube video, okay?
Oh my God.
You think it's like you go online and you shit on everyone's videos, like that's your hobby or whatever. Make one video, bro. Make one video. when that autofocus fucks you up, no, and focuses on the bars behind you, and your 3 hours of work is, you know, gone to shit, then we'll talk. Then we'll talk about technicalities.
Oh, man. No, dude.
I know, man.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Dude, it's
nothing is purely creative.
Yeah, it's easy to consume.
Yeah.
It's easy to just like sit there and be the audience because, well, you've given yourself the tag. And it's easy, like you said, to go around shitting on everyone's pieces of content.
Yeah, but nobody knows the technicalities of going. I honestly believe that in order to really master the creative side of any creative profession, you have to be fantastic at the technicalities. Because otherwise, you'll never transcend the technicalities. Like, if you're always focusing only on the technicalities, like, how do you enjoy what it is that you want to do, right? Like,
it's a balance.
Yeah, you have to know the technicalities. Okay, now coming back to the question
I have to also talk about this out-of-focus thing, remind me. But then, please talk about this.
Theater, I did a lot of theater in school. Like, we had school plays every year. So I was like, you know, background dancer. Background
tree.
No, I was never tree. I was background dancer, background person. We didn't do trees and all. We had sets.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We were a little posh, Lavan.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't get people to be trees.
No, it's one of those
childhood things.
No,
characters
that are trees. You know, fucking the tree starts dancing and then like, holy shit, kind of a crazy ass tree.
We did realistic plays. Like we did Annie, we did The King and I. Like we did all very realistic plays only. Yeah. And so there, I mean, I slowly started getting like larger roles as I kept going. And then in my 10th standard, we did Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, which is a story about 13 men, which they decided to do in an all-girls school. So it was just a bunch of us in beards, okay? But I had the time of my life, man. And like, you know, it didn't even strike me what a major role I had until curtain call. So they were setting up like now the dancers come from the set and the extras and then the this and then the whatever. And then the director was like, okay, now for my main cast. And I was like, my main cast? Like that was the moment that I was just like, I love this. I wanted to continue doing it in college, but college just, for lack of a better phrase, fucked me sideways, man. Like it was just bad. Like I really struggled with college. So I just did not have the bandwidth. And the theater club that was there, I didn't really vibe with them. I just felt like we had very different tastes. And I was like, I don't know if I'm into this. So I just like put it aside.
Atlanta.
Yeah. So I put it aside until like the year before I moved back, which was then I was like, what am I doing? Is this it? Like pay bills and wait for death. Like I can't do this. So I took an acting class. It was just like a 6-week, once a week kind of thing. Like, even my colleagues commented on it. They were like, you seem so happy. Like, you look so alive. Like, every day you're just like, you know, thrilled. No, in Atlanta.
Oh, it's still there. It's
there only. And they were just like, wow. And I was like, this is what's been missing in my life. Because I had friends in the technology space who felt like that about technology. And I was always an outsider looking in being like, why do they care so much?
It's just a computer.
Yeah, like just relax. Like, why is this such an obsession for you? But then I was like, it's just because it wasn't the thing that I cared about. But now that I found the thing that I care about, it's like, I need this feeling. I need more of this feeling. I looked around for like amateur groups. I looked around for casting agents. But like all of it was, you can't do it on an H-1B visa at all. Like you just... it's not even an option.
Can't do a lot of things. Yeah.
And there was no real amateur group that I could find personally. Like even the smaller theaters in Atlanta employed like full-time actors. So that was never going to be an option for me. So it's like, fine, we'll come back.
Hmm.
Came back. And as I said, I spoke to lots of different people, did lots of different things. You know, just told everybody that I wanted to be an actor. And people kept putting me in touch with other people. And yeah, then one day I quit my job. Sure. I mean, no, I got cast in a play, a Jagriti play. In like Jan 2017. And I was like, okay, it's now or never. We'll do this for 1 year and we'll see. Then after that 1 year, I was like, okay, we'll do this for one more year. And then we'll see. I'm on year number 5 now. And now actually I do a social media and communications job for Jagriti Theatre.
Hmm.
Jagriti Theatre. Am I drunk on this coffee? Am I still drunk from yesterday? What's happening? Jagriti Theatre. My director will die if she hears me talking like this. I taught you nothing. Okay.
So much for PR and so much for communications.
I know, right? You can't even say the name of Aarti Auto. No, but again, now, because I am doing media and communications around something that I love, which is a stage, a live performance venue, like getting people to come perform, to come watch, to take classes. All of that gives me the answer to the question why. Like, why am I waking up at 4 a.m. to go to the shoot? Because I love what I do. Why am I spending 15 minutes tweaking this one row, this one column on a spreadsheet? Because it makes a difference to the larger picture. Like, I'm able to answer to myself why I'm doing something, which was something that was completely missing for me from the time I went to college. It was like, why? Oh, it was my dad asked me to do it. Like, why am I doing this job? Because, I mean, like, that's what you do, right? Like, you're just like, I was just following whatever has, you know, been put forward as the thing to do. And I could never answer why. Why am I doing this? Why do I live in America? Why am I doing this job?
Depriving myself of Samba Vade.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I'm not even joking, right? Like, I came back for one winter for like a bunch of weddings, and I was supposed to, like, it was a switch between visas, between my student visa and my work visa. And they needed some paperwork, something, something. I got delayed. I ended up working out of the Bangalore office. And while I was there, I was like, why do I live in America? Like, what's the need? Like, I understand for some people, it's like a goal. I understand for some people, you know, like living with, like, you know, toxic families is something they want to get away from. You know, the culture is not accepting of them, whatever it might be. They need to go abroad. They can only live their best lives abroad. I get that. But I'm like the most mainstream, least deviant, you know, like Hindu surname, able-bodied, like upper class, English speaking. Like, I have like -5 issues living here, other than being a woman, which is a thing unto itself. So I don't have a difficult time in India. So then why? And like, also a bunch of things happened, you know, like my cousin got married, I couldn't make it because of visa stuff. My grandmom passed away, I couldn't make it because of visa stuff. And I was just like,
is this, man?
Like, why am I like killing myself here alone? I grew up with like a really tight group of cousins. I felt like I was completely out of touch with their lives. And everyone that I met and love still from Atlanta, I still love them. And they were like, you know, friends like family, but I loved my family also, you know? So like, why was I doing this? And you know, I every time I came back, my parents were getting a little older. It makes you feel a little bit more, you know, like it hits you a little bit more every time you leave.
Yeah.
So it was just, it wasn't making sense anymore after some time. Just so, again, I couldn't answer why, and now I can answer why, and that's like my big thing. If I can now, my personal motto, if I can answer why I'm doing something, cool.
Dude, that's not an easy answer to find. And this could probably change too, who knows?
Yeah.
And it's like you said, I think what we led with, the fact that you can never know it all.
Yeah.
Right? So you, and I personally believe that you have only one life, so you have to literally live a lot and do a lot of things. We had a guest, you might know Punya Arora.
Yeah.
So Punya and I spoke about this at length, where she was like, we probably have only one life, but we need to try a lot of things. And I don't want to, you know, only be a techie or only be an actor or only be whatever. I want to try a lot of things.
Yeah.
Which makes a lot of sense. And I'm actually script. So YouTube part, I'm knee deep, face deep, everything deep in this right now in terms of process. And I'm a guy who literally has to have like a proper end-to-end process when it comes to anything and everything. You might have just seen it happen just before, you know.
Not accidental. I know there were flowcharts involved. There's a spreadsheet somewhere.
It's more than a spreadsheet, Oroshi. Let me just put it that way. It's far
it's
more
a
than
folder.
It's so much more. It's just a couple of TVs of. No, but seriously, dude, the kind of thought that I've put into certain things, and like especially the videos I'm trying to make, complementing the podcast bit as well. So the podcast kind of took a break when we had this whole second wave hit us. But up until that point, I think the reason we were able to stay consistent is because these processes were there in place.
Yeah.
So kind of ensure that we, you know, had a decent backlog, and no matter what happens, we have enough episodes to keep us going.
Yeah.
And that kind of worked. And I stick by that, and that's my principle for life.
Yeah.
So I tend to default to that for anything and everything. And that is something I am very grateful to, both the corporate as well as just being, you know, like in the startup space.
Yeah.
Because I've, you know, worked with companies and all of that. I kind of default to that mentality and thinking, because the moment I look at something on a spreadsheet and I'm like, I know how to put this together, it gives me that, you know, that kind of, it's not, I don't know if it's OCD, but it's that kind of nice high, a nice feel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if I look at a messy desktop.
Definitely not OCD. OCD is a debilitating mental health condition. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I know a lot of people who are there.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
It's, oh, that's really, I feel sad.
Yeah.
That's a different topic altogether.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
With this YouTube bit as well, I have started doing all of these technical things, like you said. It's easy for us to sit and say, do that video. So
chumma they were chatting, dude.
Yeah, that's
chumma,
a,
you'll
yeah.
record yourself chatting and you'll call yourself a content creator. Oh,
exactly.
Kya re bakwas.
Exactly.
Those comments.
Dude,
yeah.
I luckily the feedback for our show's been great. I'm yet to get, you know, like...
Kya re bakwas.
Yeah, there's one guy who said... oh, this is one of those shows again. Oh, they're talking about inspiration and some shit and not some. I was like, so yeah, I mean, your point being. And then that guy just came back and said, so I don't know why I said that. Or some kind of weird comment. Then he deleted that comment also. I'm like, what a, like a jobless fellow. Like, what's wrong with this guy? Anyway.
Beyond a point, it's just like, thanks for increasing the engagement on
yeah,
my video. Like,
I know. Please talk to me more.
You took the time to watch it and then hate it and then comment like,
you
really hate this show.
Like, really? Like, he has to wait an hour and 15 minutes. I got one point now.
Yeah.
I know what to go comment now. Like, good, you at least spend one and a half hours on my video.
Exactly.
Anyway, so now I'm in that process of, like, writing, scripting, planning, composing, the frame, everything, right? In terms of shooting, editing, everything. And it is a big challenge. Oh, my God. It's a big challenge. And I love to get up in the morning, get like a cup of coffee and sit and just script. It's great. The feeling's great.
Yeah.
But obviously, even though this fuels me, there are so many times I'm just like, man, I've got to do this again. You know? And I think
yeah.
that comes with anything and everything you
yeah.
do. Right? But I think it's what you said. It's like when you know that this is why you're doing it.
Yeah.
And you have that clarity, it kind of becomes a little easier.
100%. I think it becomes much easier. Like, I remember reading a quote or hearing a quote. Someone said something about how it's like not about the good days, it's about the bad days. Like, do you love what you do enough to do it on a bad day? Because like when I was looking into this fashion and social media marketing and all, I was like, I don't care enough. I'm never going to wake up at 5 a.m. and be like, gotta write about fabrics. Like, it's never going to happen. Some people love it, they're going to do it, but it's not me. But if I have to wake up at 5 a.m. and start learning lines, I'll do it. I will do it. And so that's been like a big, I don't think it makes a small difference. I think it makes all the difference,
yeah.
all the difference in the world.
Dude,
because
yeah.
every job has its annoying days, has its annoying people, has the days when you just want to like smash your laptop into the side of a wall and drive away to Goa and never come back. Like, I get it. But, you know, it makes a difference, I think, to know why you're doing it.
Dude, so true. And I think when you can set the standard at that level, right, especially those bad days, because things are obviously going to go to dogs at some point.
Yeah.
But the question is, how do you kind of keep up with that and then get back? Right?
Yeah.
My God, dude. So, like, I'll give you a simple example. Actually, let's talk about the out-of-frame thing itself. Dude, when I started the podcast, the first two episodes, I decided I'll just talk about my journey. Like, I think something like the kind of video you put out earlier,
mm-hmm.
right? So, I just wanted to give people an idea of who I am, because it
yeah.
just shouldn't be like, oh, this guy just started talking to me.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
who the hell is this guy?
Yeah.
So, the first, you know, like, just randomly, like, okay, great.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, Akshay is here. Who's Akshay? Oh, great. No, it doesn't matter. Anyway, so, yeah, the first episode, I just told people that this is what you can expect from the show. And then the second episode was relatively long, where I spoke about my corporate experience and why I quit the corporate, you know, the entire corporate experience itself and what I'm doing right now and all of that. And in that video, I remember, and I'm like this overthinker and, you know, this kind of freaking out about everything. So I remember watching a couple of other shows and I was like, man, this guy is winging it and killing it. Like, literally, there's no script. It looks like he's just talking. So I'm telling my wife also, like, see, I've got the bullet points, okay? I'll just, like, go through it. Like, easy.
Easy.
So I learned the technicalities. I'm light. I've lit the thing nice. It's a little moody and it's nice. I'm like, great.
Yeah.
I switch on a nice lamp in the back. Like, great. So we started and I'm just taking take again and again and again because it's not coming out the way I want it to.
Yeah.
Like, right now it's free-flowing. I'm able to talk to you. There I'm, like, we just spoke earlier. I'm looking into the bloody void of the lens. I'm like, what is happening here? And I'm constantly taking it, you know, like, the takes again and again and again. And finally, I realized I can't wind up tonight. I mean, that particular night,
yeah.
Right? So I took it up the next day. And I'm wearing the same t-shirt. I'm trying to do the same thing. Finally got it done. And I'm like, great. And then we had to go to Chikmagalur or something for like a holiday with the family. I'm like, great. I'll go there and edit it. Went there and I'm sitting and I opened up the shots and I was like, first day, looks okay. I'm just saying a lot of all that. Second day, the entire thing is focused on that bloody lamp.
Amazing.
Dude, the lamp is like literally some 10 like feet behind me. It's way behind. And I'm using these prime lenses. So it's like literally will bokeh out everything else except what's on
focus. So you're the bokeh.
I am entirely the bokeh. Yes, I'm bokeh.
Oh,
Akash Damodar. And I'm like, I look at the video, I'm like, no.
What have I done?
Yeah. And I looked at it only a couple of days later and I've already got a haircut. So I don't look the same also. God damn it, I can't. Like, then I'm like, fuck now, what do I do?
I'm just start over.
Yeah, so I have to is what I thought. Then I'm like, I thought through the entire trip. And I came back, I'm like, fuck it. I'll just shoot that bit again and I'll just put it up. People have to deal with it, let them deal with it. It's my second video. No one's anyway watching me. Who gives a shit?
Exactly.
Yeah, and I just put it up. And then I mentioned that at the end of the video too. Like, if you saw something funny in this video, because there's an obvious transition at one point.
Yeah.
I'm wearing the same t-shirt.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in the same place. The lamp, the lighting, everything looks the same. But man, this guy's got a clean haircut now and he looks a little different. So I'm like, if you guys notice this, let me know. A lot of people have pinged me on Instagram and told me it was never like an didn't put them off. But they're like, dude, I'm glad that you still put it out.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I feel like that's the difference between, I feel like there's a whole personality type of people that have 1,000 ideas, that have like full confidence in their ability to execute it, but they don't ever do anything. So like, the difference between someone who thinks they know everything and has everything figured out and the person who's put out like a slightly shitty video is the fact that that person is more likely to be successful because the person actually put out a video.
Yeah.
In your mind, if you're the next Joe Rogan or whatever, but you've never recorded a single episode, your likelihood of becoming that Joe Rogan is still shit compared to the person whose podcast you're shitting on. Because that person has a podcast out into the world and you don't.
Correct.
I know so many people who are like, yeah, man, I'm going to quit and become a writer. I'm going to go quit and do this. First of all, you don't have to quit. Okay, you can start. Start doing something on the side. Like, you can still have your job and see if you like doing it. You may not. Like, I thought I was into photography, okay, for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Not into photography. I found out the hard way. But you have to try it. Not to know. If I quit my job and I'll become a photographer, that would have been a bad scene. But, like, that's what these people are never going to do. It's like, and they will sit and criticize everyone's everything. Like, oh, what a wannabe show. Oh, this is so lame. Oh, this is so done before. They're still putting out videos, buddy. You know, like 5 views is still more than 0 views on a channel that doesn't exist.
A 0 channel, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like,
oh, man. No, people. So I read this quote somewhere. I think someone famous who said it. If you don't read, then there's no difference between you and an illiterate person.
Yeah.
In the sense that there's no point in learning the language if you're not going to put it to use. So either you speak or you read or do something with it. The same thing applies here, right? Just thinking these thoughts is not going to get you anywhere. Fact of the matter is you have to do something about it, right?
And see, you want to be the type that's just thinking. You think, don't shit on someone else who's actually doing it. Just be like, good for them.
Yeah.
They went and did it. I'm not going to do it. I'm never going to do it. They did it. Great. Like, that's my view on fitness now. Like, I appreciate your fitness. Am I ever going to get there? No. But I appreciate you. I just don't care enough to do it.
And then take a deep breath.
But I'm not going to, like, shit on them and be like, oh, why do they have to be like this? Why do they only eat, like, kale salad? Like, that's what they want to do, man. Let them do it. Like, you don't get shredded by eating burgers like I'm eating burgers. But I'll eat my burgers and not be fit and be happy. And if that's what makes them happy, let them be happy.
Yeah.
But there are some people who don't want to do it and shit on the people that do do it. I'm a lot of anger.
If it isn't obvious already.
I hate everything. I'm very hungover.
It's everything. It's a combination of anger, hunger, hungover, everything coming together, like culminating into what is happening right now.
Am I just hungry?
It's possible.
This might just be hunger.
It's possible. We'll go grab a burger right across the street once we're done. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. You had made burger.
Yeah, like I said before, this one's a super, super fun one. This conversation was super fun. Like I said, we were cracking each other up. We were laughing. Yeah, it was just a laugh riot through the entire conversation. And I'm hoping you enjoyed it every bit as much as I did having this conversation with Urvashi. Also, what this conversation is that it's relatively long. So we had to cut it up into two parts. So this is just part one of my conversation with Urvashi. Part two will be out in a couple of weeks. So stay tuned for that. So yeah, I did mention earlier on in the episode that this episode is brought to you by my newsletter. Yeah, so if you have 30 seconds of your time, I'd love to talk about what you can expect from my newsletter. So I share short write-ups every 2 weeks about the important things in life, things that complement the kind of content I'm putting out. And for the most part, the feedback and reception has been incredibly positive, with people telling me that they didn't know a newsletter like this could exist, where it's super personal, or, you know, we get talking about really important things instead of just having like a template and we try to follow the same template every other week. And also how a lot of people have gotten to think outside the box when it comes to their career or their education. So yeah, if you'd like to see what this newsletter is about, then head on over to akashdamodhan.com and sign up for my newsletter. It's completely free. It'll always be free. But I'm sure that it is something that will definitely get the wheels turning or spinning in your head. So yeah, subscribe to my newsletter. And yeah, if you're watching this episode and you've stuck around till now and you haven't hit the like button, or if you haven't subscribed, then dude, I'm super disappointed, because you just spent like a good 45 minutes or an hour on this conversation and you haven't hit the like button. But obviously you've liked it, otherwise why would you stick around for so long? So hit the like button. And also while you're at it, just subscribe and leave a comment and let me know what you liked about the episode or what really struck a chord with you. And finally, if you'd like to connect with me on Instagram, well, I release short tidbits there as well. Head on down to Instagram. And for the most bit, I actually use Instagram as a communication channel of sorts. It's an easy way for me to connect with my audience. So if you would like to reach out to me, DM me and let me know your thoughts, then you can do that. Or if you want to just email me, do it the conventional route, go right ahead. I'll leave links to all of that in the description below. Cool then. I guess that's pretty much it. Stay tuned for part two of my conversation with Urvashi. Next episode though is not the one with Urvashi. It instead features Disha Madan. Finally, we have our conversation with Disha Madan coming out next week. So yeah, if you know what Disha Madan does and you're excited about what's in store, then stay tuned, because that conversation is definitely not going to disappoint. Cool then, I'll see you guys next one. Until then, ciao.